The very first verse of the book of Ecclesiastes indicates who the author of the book is. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And so that pinpoints King Solomon as being the author of this wonderful book. Solomon, if you like, was not only the king, but Solomon was, in fact, the preacher. And more than any other book in the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes deals with the matters of life and death. And so in this two-week gospel mission, we're going to consider those matters, matters of life and death. Because we all have a life to live, and we all have a death to die. And therefore, the subject of the book of Song of Ecclesiastes are matters that affect each and every one of us in this meeting and in this mission in these days in which we're living. And also, the matter of salvation is literally a matter of life and death. But you know, the reality is that the most important matters that we have to consider are so often the issues that we try to avoid and try to ignore. The fundamental questions of life are questions that people don't like to ask and don't really want to have the answers. Who am I? Is there a God? What is life all about? What will happen 5 minutes after I die? Will I ever stand before God? Am I accountable to God? Does God require anything of me? Can I come to know God? Is there any purpose in living? Is there any reason to be fearful in the midst of dying? We all know that these are vital questions, and yet we live in a world where so many people ignore them and bury their heads in the sand. And yet, today and tomorrow night and throughout the weeks that lie before us, we're going to consider some of these great issues and matters of life and death. Now, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, reveals himself as being a preacher. Verse number 1 of the first chapter, the words of the preacher. Then verse 12 of that first chapter, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Chapter number 7 and verse number 27, behold, this have I found, saith the preacher. And then more explicitly in chapter 12 we read, moreover, because the preacher was wise. Verse 10 of chapter 12, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Verse number 8 of the 12th chapter, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Friends, we are living in a day where people don't really like to hear preaching. Many, many years ago, maybe 50 or 100 years ago, a meeting like this where the Word of God was to be opened and the meetings advertised, a meeting like this in a bygone day would have been filled with people because the people of this town and country and community had a desire to listen to the preaching of God's Word. And many found life and freedom and joy and assurance and satisfaction as faithful men preached the Word of God. But we are living in days where people want something else. But the Word of God is truth that is unchangeable and truth that is unchanging. And the Bible declares that God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And it is the preaching of the message of the cross that is God's means of drawing a people unto himself. God had only one begotten son. And he sent him into this world 2,000 years ago, not only to be a savior who would die on a cross, but also he sent his son to be a preacher. And so these meetings are simply about the preaching of the gospel. That's all it's about, getting the Word of God out, trusting and praying that God will speak to hearts. And here we have Solomon in chapter 12 and verse number 9, described as being the wise preacher. And I just want to say a few things this afternoon about this wise preacher. Why does he preach? Where does he preach? How does he preach? And what does he preach? And so the first question about the wise preacher, why does he preach? Why would a man stand up in a meeting like this, or in any other place, and open the Word of God and preach a gospel message to a people that maybe are willing or are not willing to hear it? Why would any man, for any reason, want to be a preacher of the gospel? Well, the Bible says, no man taketh this honor unto himself. A man preaches the gospel because, first of all, he has a calling. The preacher preaches because he has a calling. You know, I grew up in a church in Lisburn. You can maybe tell by my accent that I'm not from North Antrim. I'm not from Coleraine originally, or Port Stewart, or Bushmill, or any of these other places, Derry Keegan, where they've all these wonderful accents. I came from Lisburn. Some people think I came from Belfast, but I came from Lisburn, okay? And I grew up in a church where the preacher, the minister, I suppose a lot of people said things about him behind his back. And sometimes I would hear things said about the preacher, how he preaches, what he preaches, what he says, what his mannerisms are. And I used to think as a little boy, if there's one thing I never want to be whenever I grew up, it's a preacher. I had no desire to be a minister, a pastor, a preacher. Dylan said in his testament, by nature he was quite shy. I used to hate standing up in front of crowds. I still get very, very nervous. And I never had the desire to be a preacher. But a man preaches because he has a calling. Amos, the great prophet, was standing amongst a herd of cattle, and God called him to be a preacher. Moses was standing in the backside of the desert, and God called him to be a preacher. The apostle Paul was a tent maker, and God called him to be a preacher. And I can still remember in the work that I was doing, quite happy, welding, making gates and trailers and railings and fixing farm machinery and studying at the college and looking at engineering. I was quite happy and quite content to do that until God began to work in my life and began to reveal to me that he had this plan, this purpose. How shall they preach except they be sent? And I believe in these weeks of meetings that God has called us and sent us to Port Stewart to open the doors of this town hall and to preach the gospel. A man preaches because he has a calling. And a man also preaches because he has a conscience. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived was the Apostle Paul. And writing to the church at Rome, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Who was he speaking about? He was speaking about his community. He was speaking about his countrymen. And Paul had a conscience. Paul knew that there was a God in heaven. Paul knew that his nation was lost and they had rejected Christ. Paul knew that there was a great eternity to face, and because Paul knew what the Word of God taught, and because Paul had a calling, and because Paul had a conscience, and because Paul had convictions, he had to preach the Word of God. Some of the apostles once said, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. And I have to preach the gospel this afternoon because I have a conscience. I have a conscience. A preacher also preaches because he has compassion. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that on one occasion he beheld the multitudes. Multitudes of men and women and young people in a district and a community not unlike this district and community. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Because he saw the multitudes and they were scattered abroad as sheep and they had no shepherd. And there was compassion in his heart. Why? Because he realized that men and women in his district and in his community were lost. And there was compassion within the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we open the doors of Port Stewart Town Hall? Is it because we want to fill a church in another community? The empty pews? We want to fill them and want to build up a little empire or glorify a preacher or a denomination? Not a word of it. It's because we believe with all of our hearts that there are souls in this community and they're lost and they need the Savior and they need the gospel message. And maybe you're here this afternoon and you yourself do not know the Savior. And we come to have this mission so that people like you can find life and find salvation. C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, once said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." Beloved, this afternoon, do we have compassion upon a world that is perishing? The wise preacher preaches because he has a calling. He's got a conscience. He's got compassion. But he has also got something that I call a compulsion. Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Why was Paul willing to lay down his life for the gospel? Why was Paul willing to languish in a prison cell? Why was Paul willing to be flogged and beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and countless other things? It was because there was a compulsion in his heart and life, and it was the love of Christ. You know, the love of God is greater far than a tongue or pen could ever tell. It reaches to the furthest star. It stoops to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? Every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And here's a man, the Apostle Paul, and there's this compulsion, this constraining love in his heart to go and reach a perishing world for the Lord Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd played cricket for England and had a life ahead of him that was paved literally with gold. He came from a wealthy family. He had good business and sporting opportunities that many people in the world would never have. And he was willing to turn his back on it all and go to the mission field and serve Christ. And he says, "But if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." The wise preacher preaches also because he has a commission. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, there's a little verse there in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a preacher as well, and God had given him a commission. Listen to what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 33. God spoke to him and said, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, or dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his sin, but his blood will I require at thy hand." This constraint, this compulsion, this commission to warn men and women to flee from the wrath to come. You know, our world tonight is full of preachers and they don't mention the word sin. They don't talk about God's holiness. They'll never talk about hell. They'll never talk about judgment. And they'll undermine the word of God. Friend, I put it on record this afternoon that I would rather stand at the judgment throne of God as a highwayman or as a bandit, a thief, a robber, or an absolute gangster than to stand at the judgment throne of God as a preacher who had sought to rob people of their faith in this precious word and their faith in the gospel. To never warn somebody, if you went to the doctor and the doctor did a scan, and he knew that in your body there was a terminal illness that would cause you much suffering and take you to an early grave, and in the doctor's surgery he had the cure, but for fear of offending you, he never told you your condition, gave the prognosis or the cure, that man should be locked up, and they should throw away the key. But how much worse for someone to open the Word of God night after night after night and never warn the people that there's a day of judgment coming. Solomon was wise, and Solomon had a commission. He also had convictions as to what the truth is. He may not be popular. Dylan testified that going around the doors presenting people with the gospel message, you know, people aren't queuing up in these days to talk to people that want to spread the gospel. But this man has convictions. And a preacher needs to have convictions. In Isaiah's day, the people called prophets who would prophesy unto them smooth things. Paul warned of a day where people would heap to themselves teachers because they had itching ears. Men that would tell them exactly what they wanted to hear. But the wise preacher preaches because he has a calling. He has a conscience. He has compassion. He has compulsion. He has a commission. And he has convictions. Where does he preach? Look at verse number 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher is a man who goes to where the people are. And that's why we're not standing today in a church building, because many people get afraid of coming within the walls of a church building. That's why we come to a town hall, a neutral venue. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he preached in the temple, he preached in the synagogues, but he also preached in the streets, he preached in the fields, and he also stood and he preached by the seaside. And here we are this afternoon, and we're beside the sea, and we're in a neutral venue. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He also preached in people's homes and in people's houses. It was said in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it was noised abroad that he was in the house. Do you know what happened? Jesus Christ came to this house and he came to preach. And whenever people heard him preach, they went out into their own community and they told their friends and their loved ones and their families that there was a wise preacher, the Lord Jesus, and he was preaching in such a way that lives were being changed and touched. And they went out and they spread it abroad and they gossiped out the gospel, and still more people came to hear him. Would it not be wise for us to go out, even this week, to a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a workmate, a family member, a loved one, and invite them to come to this house to hear the Word of God? Why he preaches, where he preaches. But Solomon deals a lot here in this little portion with how he preaches. It's one thing to preach. It's another thing to preach in the right place. It's another thing to preach even in the right way. You know, so often people say to me who never go to a church, maybe have rejected their church upbringing and their church background, and they'll say things like, well, my minister has got nothing to say, or he preaches like he doesn't even believe it himself. A preacher preaches because he believes the Word of God. Notice that a preacher must preach faithfully. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the souls of men, and also faithfulness to himself. The Apostle Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He preaches faithfully, but also he preaches wisely, because the preacher, verse 9, was wise. What does that mean? Well, it means that he just preaches the truth. Can't do anything better for a precious soul than to preach the truth. You know, we could open up this hall and we could have drama and we could have all sorts of different things to entertain and so on and so forth. But if you were to leave these meetings and never hear the truth or the wisdom of God, it would be of no value to you whatsoever. We could open up a lovely dinner and a lovely supper and come in and feed all the people. But if they went out with their stomachs full and their souls empty and they still didn't know the gospel, I can't think of anything more foolish than that. But the preacher preaches wisely. He preaches truth. It says that he still taught the people knowledge. Be foolish to preach anything other than the gospel. Because it is the gospel alone that is the power of God unto salvation. Not only does he preach faithfully and wisely, but he preaches simply. Look at verse number 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. You know, years ago in this nation of America, the successor to the great evangelist D.L. Moody was a man by the name of R.A. Torrey. And R.A. Torrey got the reputation of being one of the greatest preachers, certainly in the city of Chicago, if not in all of America. And one day a little boy said to his dad, "I want to go and hear R.A. Torrey preach." And so they went along to the meeting and they listened to this evangelist preach the simple truth of the gospel message. And the little boy left the meeting, and as they were leaving, he turned round to his father and says, "Dad, Mr. Torrey's not the greatest preacher in America." And his father says, "Well, why do you say that?" And the little boy said, "Because I could understand everything that he said." He had this idea that if he was such a great preacher, he wouldn't understand any of it. But he understood all of it. And that was the secret of R.A. Torrey's great ministry. He preached simply. And the Word of God says that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ preached, that the common people heard him gladly. Fishermen, tax collectors, publicans, sinners, adulterous people that would never have gone to a synagogue or a temple, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ preached by the seashores of Galilee, they could understand everything that he said. And I would suggest to you this afternoon that if you bring your friends and your families and your loved ones along to these meetings, they will understand everything that they hear. He also preaches passionately. Verse number 9 says, he gave good heed. He gave good heed. That is to say, he issued out a warning. There was passion in his heart. He loved the people and he gave good heed. You know what a need there is in Port Stewart. Souls need to be saved. What a responsibility that there is. We'll all stand before God someday. What a cause there is, the glory of God. And yet what a wonderful gospel there is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a wonderful, wonderful gospel. Friends, are we passionate enough to go into this community and to go to our friends and our families and offer them a lift along to the meetings? Do we have that type of passion? W.C. Burns, an old Scottish preacher, as a little boy who was a Christian, was once walking through the streets with his mother, and all of a sudden he stopped and he just broke down and began to weep. And his mother said, "William, what's wrong with you?" And he says, "Mother, can you not hear what I hear?" And the mother stopped and listened, and all she heard was the hustle and bustle of people going about their duties and going and buying and selling and going about the marketplaces. And she says, "No, son, what do you hear?" And he says, "I can hear the tramp of Christless feet on their way to hell." And that little boy went on to become one of Scotland's best preachers and lived to see a tremendous awakening, a great revival. Moreover, the preacher preaches steadfastly. Verse number 9 says, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people. He'd been preaching for years, but the message never changed. And undoubtedly, through his career as being a preacher, there were many discouragements and many upsets and much rejection and much to oppose him. But nevertheless, he still preached on. Because the need of the human heart is still the same today as it was in the days of Christ. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season." And not only that, but he preaches graciously. Chapter 10 and verse number 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And the gospel is a gospel of grace. You say today, "Well, what do you mean by grace?" Unmerited favor. None of us deserve anything from God but judgment and wrath. And yet in loving kindness and grace and mercy, God sent the Savior. And you can be saved today by God's grace. The grace of God can lift you from where you are right now and bring you into a new place. You know, just across the street, I noticed it on Friday night, there's a cafe. We've got ice cream in it before, and they do lovely salads. It's called Wills. And just there in the window, in large letters, you'll read something along the lines. I just wrote it down before I came in. It's not where you're from. It's where you're at. And as you leave these meetings night after night, or if you never come back and you walk up the street, think about those words. It's not where you're from. It's where you're at. Can I ask you today, where are you with God? It's not about what church background you've come from. It's not about the life you've lived up until this moment in time. It's where you're at right now. And the grace of God can bring you to a new place. Amazing grace, John Newton said, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Why does he preach? Where does he preach? How does he preach? And then lastly, what does he preach? What does he preach? Look at verse number 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Friends, he just preaches from this old book. He just comes to the written word of God, words that are truth, words that are upright, words that are written. And he opens up the old book and he just tells people what the Bible says. Because the scripture asks a question. It says, how shall they hear without a preacher? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He taught the people truth. He taught the people knowledge. And folks, this afternoon, one of the most important things in all the world is whenever you have a question about life, or death, matters of life and death, and you want to know why you're here, you want to know where you're going, you want to understand where you're at, you want to be sure and certain that you're going to heaven, all that really matters is whether or not you get a Bible answer. Because the opinions of men are no good to you. So many today preach everything but the Word of God. Solomon was a preacher of the Word. He preaches the Word. He preaches the message of the Bible. You say, well, what is the message of the Bible? Well, the Apostle Paul, as we have said already, was perhaps the greatest preacher that ever lived. And on one of his missionary journeys, he went to the great city of Athens in Greece, a godless city. And he began to preach the word of God to the people of that city. And his sermon is recorded in Acts chapter 17. And he begins with the subject of creation. And he begins to tell these people that there is a creator. He says, God that made the world. And friends, the Bible begins with creation. God created this world. And God made you and God made me. And many people try to deny that there's a creator, and they take God out of the equation, and the result is they have got absolutely no answers. The Bible speaks about creation. And then he also told the people that this creator was also in control. He says that he is the giver of life. He says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. You know, you are not in control of your life. God is in control. The politicians of this world are not in control of the economy. God is in control. The doctors of this world are not in control of your health. God is in control. The insurance man is not in control of your affairs. God is in control. Whenever Belshazzar, the wicked king of Babylon, had that great feast, he didn't know that his life would end that very night. And Daniel came before him. And Daniel said these words. He says, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? And he was telling Belshazzar, your creator is in control. And he holds your next breath in his hand. And then Paul also preached about God's characteristics. In verse number 24, he says, God made the world. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That indicates that God is everywhere present. He also said that God needeth not anything. God is sovereign. He says he giveth life to all and breath to all things. He tells them God is righteous, God is invisible, God is holy. And all of a sudden these ignorant people of Athens are confronted with this great God that they had never thought about before. One who is sovereign, one who is holy, one who is everywhere present, one who is almighty, one that made us, one that created us. And then Paul spoke to them about a great catastrophe. And he confronted them about their sin. And he showed them that this world that God has created, friends, there's something wrong with it. Look around you. Can you not see evidence all around Port Stewart, Port Rush, Coleraine, this triangle area, that we live in a fallen world? Disease and death and sickness and strife and drug addiction and adultery and broken homes and broken marriages and broken hearts and broken hopes. And there's something that is wrong with this world, because just after creation, there was a great catastrophe. And Adam sinned against God, and this world was plunged into corruption. And that's something else that Paul highlights in his great sermon to the people of Athens, that people by nature are corrupt. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And they had erected this altar to an unknown God. They didn't even know who God was anymore. And they worshipped a God of their own imagination. And Paul confronted them with the problem of sin. And then he spoke to them about a Christ, a Savior, that could really save. In verse number 31 he said, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. And that man is Christ. Paul preached unto the people Christ, and Christ is the message of the Bible. Do you know him today? What think ye of Christ? Pilate asked a great question on one occasion. He says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And in this afternoon, meeting this afternoon, you have to choose, you have to decide. What are you going to do with the gospel message? What are you going to do with Christ? He also spoke about the consummation of the ages. In verse 31, he spoke about a day in which God will judge the world in righteousness. That day whenever Jesus Christ comes back again. Friends, we are not here on this earth to stay. We are here on this earth to go. And someday we will all stand before God in judgment. And everything that we will say and do pivots upon this great question. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And then there was also a commandment. Because the gospel always demands a response. It says in verse number 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul spoke about creation. He spoke about God being in control. Characteristics of catastrophe, corruption, Christ, the consummation of the ages. And then he called the people and he says, now you have to turn, you have to repent. And turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in this wonderful Savior. And he spoke about conversion. Conversion. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This wonderful experience of conversion. Can I ask you in closing, have you ever been converted? Have you ever come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You know, you could listen to 1,000 better preachers than the one that's standing behind this little pulpit this afternoon. But you'll never hear a better gospel. You could listen to men that are more eloquent. But I can't introduce you to a better Savior. Jesus Christ is a wonderful Savior. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And whenever Paul finished this great sermon, you know what it says? Whenever he spoke about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, it said, some people mocked. Other people said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And then some clave unto him and believed. And very often those are the same three responses that are made whenever the gospel goes forth. Now some of you this afternoon might mock and scoff and say, I just don't believe it. I think your gospel is a load of nonsense, a load of rubbish. And I don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I don't believe that he died on the cross for me. I don't believe in a day of judgment. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. I don't believe that I need to get converted. And then others will say, I'll come back some other time. I will hear thee again of this matter. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee some other time, but not tonight. And with the best intention in the world, you intend someday that you'll get right with God. And you say, I will hear thee again of this matter. And then in Athens, there were the ones and twos that believed. And their lives were changed forever. Where are you this afternoon in relation to God? The preacher sought to be faithful to your soul and he sought to be honest. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He died on a cross because he loved this sin-cursed earth. He's willing to save any sinner that will come and put their faith and trust in him. And he can save you now for time and for eternity. Will you come and put your faith and trust in him? Will you deride and mock and say, it's not for me? Will you delay and say some other time? Or will you make the critical decision and take up the cross and from this moment on follow Christ in that wonderful journey that will one day conclude in the celestial city? May God bless these words to all of our hearts this afternoon. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of a closing hymn. It's hymn number 280. 280, Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. 280. We'll just sing the first two verses of the hymn together. And as we often say at the end of any meeting like this, if God has challenged you or spoken to you, and you want to know more, or maybe something's not clear in your own heart or mind, or you want to get right with God this afternoon, and you know that God has been speaking to your heart, if we can help you, if we can open the Word of God and point you to Christ or pray with you, that's why we're here. But don't leave the meeting if God has spoken to your heart. Don't delay and say, I will hear thee again of this matter. Right at the very commencement of the meetings, get right with God. Put your faith and trust in the Savior. Let's stand together for verses 1 and 2 of hymn 280.